Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, hello. This is Caroline Sinisa-Levine, co-founder of Six Figure Start and host for today's episode of the Six Figure Start Career Advice Radio Show. Six Figure Start is a career coaching firm dedicated to helping you build fulfilling and financially rewarding careers. Joy and money are not mutually exclusive. You can earn a great living doing work that you love. Six Figure Start is comprised exclusively of former Fortune 500 recruiters, so our approach is based on inside knowledge into what companies are really looking for. So my specialty is career change and entrepreneurship, because sometimes fulfillment and financial reward mean you need to do a different career altogether or go into business for yourself. We have a lot of free resources on our site, including archived episodes of our past radio shows, so visit sixfigurestart.com for more information. And while you're there, subscribe to our free bi-monthly newsletter for tips and advance notice of upcoming events delivered right to your inbox. You can also contact us at the site or by email at info@sixfigurestart.com to submit your questions for a future show. Now, for today's show, we are not doing a Q&A format. We have a very special guest for our show, someone that I've known for a long time. In fact, my Six Figure Start co-founder, Connie Fenasilla-Seracchio, worked with our guest many years ago on the recruiting side. So today we're really excited. We are going to have, again, the insider information from a recruiter that Six Figure Start has worked closely with, both as a recruiter and as a coach. Today we have Liz Kolodny on the line. And Liz, are you there with us?
I am here. Hi, Caroline.
Hi, Liz. So Liz brings 20 years of corporate staffing and coaching experience. She currently runs her own consulting business focused on recruiting and coaching executives and professionals globally from all industries and functional areas. As a coach, her expertise includes job search strategy, effective networking, interviewing, resume. So you're a certified professional resume writer. Definitely want to talk to you about resumes today. Cover letter and LinkedIn profile development. Also offer negotiation and onboarding. So in addition to coaching through career transitions, Liz helps clients navigate successfully in their current environments. She has an MBA from Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management and her undergraduate from University of Chicago. And so, Liz, one of the things that you said to me when I said, I'd love to have you on the show, and we're just going to talk between friends and talk about what you're seeing on the job market. And one thing you mentioned was, we should definitely talk about this concept of how you show up. So what did you mean by that? Are you seeing people not showing up either for interviews or in coaching? Or like, yeah, what do you mean by showing up?
Okay, that's very funny. I certainly did not mean that people are absent and missing appointments. What I mean by this concept of showing up, which is a concept that spans across activities, I thought rather than talk about a specific activity like doing your resume or networking or interviewing or your LinkedIn profile, I wanted to discuss or mention to your listeners the theme of being very conscious in how you present yourself to others in every forum, ranging from the first contact that you may be sending somebody via email or text or on the phone or your resume in person, meeting in informal places like the grocery store, or very formal situations like a panel interview, anything. Because the thing about this concept of how you show up, which I learned a lot about in my coach training through IPEC, which is the Institute for Professional and Excellence in Coaching, and I highly recommend it for anybody who is looking into a coaching career, by the way, is that we have a lot more control over how we show up than we think we do. And the impact that we have on other people in how we show up is really profound. And the great thing is that it costs absolutely nothing. No money. You don't need to go buy books on this. Tapes. It is free. What it requires is consciousness and deliberation and thoughtfulness about how do you want to be present in every situation. So that's what I meant by how you show up.
And so how does someone get, awareness of that, right? I mean, if someone says, you know, I'm present, right? Like, I'm focused. I've really prepared for this. How do they know how they're showing up? Is there some way to tell? Is it that you want to work with someone, you know, who's looking at that and maybe giving you feedback on it, or is this something you know?
Okay, well, one of the ways I think is helpful is to think about the impact that some other people have on us on a regular basis. For example, I know in my life there are people who every time the phone rings and it's them, or I get an email or some kind of outreach, I'm really, really happy to see their number come up, to talk with them. I know that whatever the context is going to be, I'm just happy for that touch point. And conversely, I know there are other people, fortunately fewer of these, who when I see their number come up, I feel not excited, not enthusiastic, kind of wishing the phone would stop ringing, because I know based on my experience with that individual that the interaction is just not going to be energizing for me. So one way to think about it is to think of the impact other people in your life are having on you and some takeaways from that for how you do not want to show up. Particularly when you are in the job market, this is really part of branding. I mean, I wasn't positioning this as branding, but it really is part of your branding, how you show up. And are you a positive brand? And I'm not talking about being Pollyanna, you know, sunny, rah-rah all the time. But are you a brand that people can embrace and feel good about, or are you one that people want to shy away from? So one thing to do is think about how other people impact you. And the other thing is, even though in the example you gave, I think you said of going to an interview, I'm ready, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many people take the time to be conscious of what you want that other person or people to think about you in that first instant of greeting? And I'm talking about all the way from going through the door and meeting the administrative staff to meeting the people you might be interviewing with and anybody else you come across on that floor. I don't think very many people actually think about this in a deliberate way. Do you?
I don't. And something that you mentioned about thinking about the impact you're going to have on the other person, I have seen professionals, both either students or recent graduates who just aren't aware, or even experienced professionals who by nature might be either anxious or maybe they're frustrated with their job search or their career and they have a little bit of that negativity that you talked about. You know, but they insist that when they get into a networking situation or an interview situation, they can turn it off. You know what I mean? Like, and they can show up as the positive person. I keep telling them that it's not that easy to do. What do you advise for someone who isn't, however, you know, naturally feeling positive, or maybe they're not, you know, one of these, you know, warm and friendly people? Like, how do you change that energy?
And people do have all different personalities. I mean, let's be fair about that. And, you know, we're like 50% of us are introverts and 50% of us are extroverts. We know this. So I want to be clear that I'm not suggesting that all the introverts on the planet go and behave like extroverts. I think acting in a way that's really genuine and being who you are is good. But if you go into a meeting, let's say you're a manager of other people and you are dealing with your team on a project that's difficult and is encountering obstacles, Imagine that you can show up in many different ways. You know, one manager might show up as very worried, fearful, skeptical of the ability to succeed, very needy of the team, impatient for results. All of these things could have an impact on that team and that team's performance. On the other hand, we know there are other people, even when encountering obstacles, who bring a certain energy, positivity, thoughtfulness, sense of collaboration, even humor to the situation that is going to be more inspiring and motivational to that team faced with the very same set of objectives. So I really think the people who are most effective are those who think about what is the impact I want to have on other people. And I honestly can say for myself that as I learned more about this concept, which isn't overly technical and complicated, but right. just raised my own consciousness, I do believe that it impacted me and my deliberation and how I show up in different environments. And I do think it's had an impact. IPEC has a model around energy and energy leadership, and this is around where you want to show up in a positive kind of energy. And again, I just want to reinforce this isn't about introversion or extroversion, but it's about the way in which you're going to affect other people and how they receive you.
So is it, so other than awareness, right, so is it an issue of, okay, if there might be something negative, use that example of, you know, a come-from-behind kind of situation perhaps for a team, you know, a team encountering difficulties, is it that you deliberately want to play kind of the optimistic role? Is it that simplistic, or is it, you know what I mean, like that you want to take the positive spin on things always, or does it depend?
No, I don't think, again, I want to stress, I'm not a Pollyanna type, and it's not about being naive and always thinking that, you know, that everything is easy, but it is about showing up in a way that people are going to respect you, that they know that you're an active listener, that you're taking their concerns and feedback into account, and that however you show up, that you should be conscious, that you should be making a choice before you walk in that door and be thinking about, if I show up fearful and all the worries that I have about accomplishing this, that is going to rub off. Whereas if I show up as, you know, realistic but encouraging and supportive and a bunch of other things that we know are representative of good leadership, that I want to be conscious in how these people receive me. And that's going to be based on how I am when I go in that room or on the phone or whatever my interaction is, the tone in my email. Reread your emails to think what interpretations can be put on what I am writing here. How many times do we all know this, all of us who are products of the email culture, how many times have we seen or heard where people really took, had a very bad outcome from the tone of an email or how it was perceived?
Yeah,
somebody
who wrote it
did not think about how it might be interpreted.
Right. And what do you coach a job seeker, right? So this is a high stakes, someone perhaps going into an interview, whether it's a first round interview or maybe it's multiple rounds later, and this is a high stakes situation, so there is anxiety, there are nerves involved, and it might be a situation where you know, someone has been at their search for a while, and so there's this there's this buildup, perhaps, of frustration. I mentioned it earlier with the more, you know, kind of negative job seeker, the job seeker with a chip on the shoulder mm-hmm. or some frustration. Like, are there either, you know, like exercises or strategies that you recommend that people do to get in a place where they can show up with more positive energy?
Well, I certainly think practicing is helpful, particularly for people who know they're nervous or, you know, they do feel negative. I coached a guy today, a professional, happens to work in private equity, a very seasoned MBA with many years of experience in entrepreneurship, who expressed concern about how he's showing up because of the story about his last employment situation. And so what he did, I think wisely, was reach out to get some coaching to talk through that issue and make sure that his presentation on it isn't going to deep six him the next time he's talking in a high-stakes interview. He happens to have some executive search meetings coming up, that he talks about this transition in a way that is not harmful. And I think one thing to bear in mind is, what is the outcome that this person is seeking? Is the outcome that this person wants the interviewer to like me, refer me to the next level in the process, and to be thinking from out of your own skin and into the skin of the buyer or the other observer, what do they need to see to really think about? What does that person need to see about me to get behind me and support me and champion me? You know, and this may be different in different roles, but they got to think from the perspective of the buyer if they're interviewing.
Right. And when you were the buyer, right, so when you were a recruiter, what were some specific things that candidates did that, you know, that you liked, right? The ones that showed up, that you felt that showed up in a positive way. Were there certain things that they did, or I'd just be curious to know from
behind the scenes. Oh my goodness.
Behind the scenes.
Well, I mean, even though these days I'm not actively recruiting and I'm coaching people all the time, first of all, I like genuineness. I like to know that I'm dealing with a regular human being and not a robot who has gone through and read every word of a manual on how to be a candidate. I need to really perceive that there is a person there and that I can relate to this human being with his or her set of experiences. I need to know that they know their set of experiences backwards and forwards, and that they're ready to highlight the things that are going to be of value to me. So that work, and I'm sure others on your talk show have talked about how to do good pitches, and I know this is something that you talk about, but being able to explain yourself really, really well. Being a good listener, listening to what I am asking. Usually interviewers ask a lot of questions, and making sure you are paying attention so that you can answer the question that I have actually asked you and not go rambling off onto other things. I look for humor. I look for people that either myself, if they're going to work with me, or that others I'm representing are going to enjoy being around. I mean, you know, there basically are three things that any hiring person or team looks for. Can you do the job? You know, are you tooled to do the job? Will you do the job? Your motivation for doing it, and the fit part. And all three of those, as you and I both know, they all have to be present. If any one of them is not, that person's not moving forward.
Right. And you mentioned genuineness, and then a little bit later you mentioned humor, right? And
mm-hmm.
I hear a lot of questions around kind of this issue of how can you be, you know, social or personable without being too forward or familiar, right? Like, how much is too much? Like, when do you know that you're not delving into, you know, just being too much of a friend as opposed to keeping the meeting professional? Do you have any guidelines?
Well, I don't think I've had too many candidates, you know, in my recollection who tried to be my friend
right.
in an interview. I think people need to curate what they are choosing to share. You know, I think particularly in our culture and with the legal parameters that we have around, you know, items you shouldn't talk about, talking too much about your family circumstance, even if you have a funny story about your children, for example, that you might share with your friends, may not be appropriate to share with an interviewer. But on the humorous side, I mean, there are ways to, you know, sometimes even if you're talking about, we all know, and most of us hate the questions about talk about your weaknesses. I mean, I rarely encounter a person who likes that question, but we all know as coaches that we have people practice it. And I think, again, being genuine there. And this might be an area where humor can come in, because I think it's okay to be a little, to be self-aware and to be somewhat self-deprecating and even humorous about what our faults are or the things that we don't do as well as we wish we could.
Right.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. And in terms of, I asked this question to everyone who guests on the show, just what they're seeing on the market, is there something that you're telling your coaching clients now that you feel like is different than maybe 10 years ago when you were recruiting and coaching, or is it still just the basic rules apply? Like what's going on now? Like, let's talk
about
today.
I certainly think to a large extent the basic rules apply.
yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
Yes, but I coach people globally, but a lot of my clients are in New York, which is, of course, one of the most competitive marketplaces on the planet. And I think people need to be very realistic in assessing what is their ROI, their value, to somebody else that they're approaching. Because candidates could be a dime a dozen, right? So what distinguishes you? Why should I spend my valuable time talking to you when, in fact, I can see from your resume that you want to change your industry or you want to change your function or you want to change both? So what is your case for this making any sense for both of us? I think, so my guidance is all the basics apply, but in a hyper-competitive market, you really better know what your case is and have it make sense for the person who's evaluating you. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And was there either as a recruiter or maybe one of your clients now a favorite case that you had, you know, someone who just really articulated their value very well? Like, what should some people take away as best practices?
You know, I think some of the people who have impressed me the most are career changers who have gone far afield from what they've done, but it's been their passion driving them. And the reason that they stick in my mind is that if it's around a passion, it's very hard to conceal it, right? And I say that in a good way, that it's infectious. If somebody is passionate about something and they share that passion, it's very convincing, it's very infectious, and it's very believable. So, I mean, in my own life, I have a friend who is a lawyer, professor, turned yoga instructor. I have another friend who's a science researcher turned real estate salesperson. I coached somebody in a pharma company a few years ago who wanted to do floral arranging. And these stick in my mind because of the deep interest that these people had in what they wanted to do. And if it is around a passion, it's almost impossible, actually, to conceal it from somebody you're talking with because you feel passion.
Yeah, no, that's such good advice, and I love how you talk about just that word infectious, you know, and that's why it's so convincing. I think that's so important. So, Liz, you and I have worked together before. You are listed on our site. If you want to get more information about Liz or contact Liz, you can do that through Six Figure Start. Or what is the best way for people to follow you or learn more about you? You know, should they just contact
well,
you through Six Figure Start?
Well, I have to admit,
else?
I'm kind of a LinkedIn junkie.
Okay.
I am on LinkedIn. The website that I use for my coaching is careersculpt.com. You can Google me. Mostly what will come up will be about my coaching. Nothing terribly sorted. Or if people want to know more, they can contact you, and I don't think you're going to lose my contact information.
No, absolutely not. Well, Liz Kalani, it's been so great speaking with you. I'm sure we will have you on the show again. And, yeah, I mean, it was just fascinating talking about everything from how to show up positively all the way through to, you know, career change, right? So clearly you've done a lot of coaching, and this has been great. Thank you so much.
Well, Caroline, it's been my pleasure. Thank you for asking me.
Great. And so this is today's episode of the Six Figure Start Career Advice Radio Show. We will be back on next month in our traditional Q&A format. So send in your questions to the contact form on our website, sixfigurestart.com. And while you're there, you can check out a number of free resources, including past episodes of our radio show. And when you sign up for our newsletter, you'll get advance notice of upcoming events. We are in the middle of a webinar series right now, Confessions of a Former Recruiter. So you can hear just from my conversation with Liz how illuminating it is to talk to a former recruiter, you know, turned experience coach. In the Confessions webinar series, Connie and I just share a whole bunch of stories from our recruiting days and really, you know, how that impacts the job seeker. So we have LinkedIn and social media coming up in a couple of weeks. So again, check out the website, sixfigurestart.com, for more information. And check out Blog Talk Radio for our show. We'll be back with the Q&A format next month. Thanks so much.